Singing this morning, both the hymn and the chorus. The chorus is a new one to me, and just so beautiful, both in words and tune. Well, I hope you did your unassigned homework and read chapter 2 of the book of Ruth. May I suggest that you do that during this week. Tomorrow, of course, will be chapter 3, and then chapter 4 on Friday. And in that way, you're better prepared, and we're able to move from verse to verse with some prior knowledge of the text. Good to have you with us. I always notice that the good singers always come for the morning service, and then, of course, they come for the evening as well, but then they're supplemented by the others. So that was beautiful. Thank you. Read with me, please, chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and gain ears of corn after him in whose hand I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field, that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed her head, face herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am stranger? Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou thither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had received after she was sufficed. Her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her, Daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maiden, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwell with her mother-in-law. Let's just pause and pray. Father, we have read the precious, inspired Word of God. We thank Thee that God the Spirit is here with us this morning. And we pray that Father and Son will receive due honor and glory, and the saints of God the rich blessing. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. In our continuing story of Ruth, we have seen her as she has left the land of Moab along with her mother-in-law Naomi. Now is in Bethlehem. We concluded our study yesterday as Naomi said, Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant and beautiful. Call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. Naomi realized God was dealing with her. And as a result, thank God, she and Ruth would be blessed and richly so. Nearly part of chapter 2, we have a new and important relationship that develops. Yesterday, we saw this grieving duo as they left Moab. But now a new element enters the story. And it's that very precious element of love. We mentioned yesterday about the field, and the field is the world. And Ruth was to experience the love of the heavenly Boaz in his field. You and I have experienced that love as we live in this world of which he said, the field is the world. And we're in it to experience and enjoy his rich and abundant blessing. So, let me divide, if I may, the portion before us. We have a new relationship in verses 1 to 3, while in 4 to 7, we have recognition. 8 to 11, we have refreshment. There's recompense in 12 to 17, and 18 to 23, we have rejoicing. Let me define two terms. I'm sure you already know them, but let's just review them and rehearse them for a moment. We'll enjoy the use of the word kinsman. The kinsman was one of the nearest living male blood relative, to anyone who had suffered a loss, be it in the loss of a family member, be it in the loss of property. And so, wonderful as it was, Ruth was to experience this precious relationship in due course. If there had been a relative that had lost or felt the fact that they had been deprived of something, why, they could appeal to the kinsman, and the kinsman was there to help. The second term is that of gleaning. According to Mosaic law, when the fields were being harvested, when the crops were being brought in, the workmen were not to work in the corners of the field. They were to leave the corners untouched so that the poor and the needy could go into the corners and glean or gather what had been left. And if perchance they dropped something on the field that was valuable to the harvest, they were to leave it there. Again, that those who were underprivileged and gleaning in the field might pick it up. Did you notice that phrase that Boaz used? As he spoke to his workers, he said, "You just let the handful of purpose drop, or on purpose, so that Ruth and other gleaners could benefit thereby." We have then in verses 1 to 3 a relationship. And when Ruth comes home to Naomi, she learns that they have a kinsman, her former husband, on her former husband's side. He was near of kin to Elimelech. His name was Boaz. You've likely noticed I enjoy Bible names and their meaning. And here it's so significant. Boaz means strength and power. And the one that Ruth was to meet that memorable day was one of strength. He was a man of wealth, of grace, of integrity, of purpose. And it was to this wonderful man that an appeal for kinsmanship relationship would ultimately be made. Of course, Boaz, I don't need to tell you, is a very beautiful picture and a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth is a picture of you and me. And to me, that's why the very precious book of Ruth is so wonderful as far as we believers are concerned. One morning, Ruth left the humble home she shared with Naomi. She announced that she was going to glean today. Being poor and a stranger in an alien land, why, she qualified for gleaning. How like you and me. Ruth was poor. She was from another land. And beloved, in the eyes of our God, we too were so very, very poor, weren't we? Poor, destitute sinners, desperately in need of God's love and forgiveness. And so we qualified for the blessings of our God, just as Ruth qualified as a gleaner in the field of Boaz. But further, she was a stranger. She'd come from an alien land. She had come from a land of which we noted yesterday that the people of Israel were not to frequent. But she was actually a resident from that land. She was an alien and a stranger indeed. How wonderful to know that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Were we aliens? We were worse than aliens. We were enemies. And yet, we have experienced the sovereign grace of our God and the blessings that accompany it. Notice verse 3, if you will. "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz." It just so it appeared. She just happened to come to the field owned by Boaz. But beloved, it wasn't happenstance at all. It was the sovereignty of an omnipotent, wonderful God. And in His goodness, He directed Ruth to the field where she would find love, provision, protection, and so on. And so, this new relationship begins to develop. You see, God had a plan to bring an alien, Gentile woman into a relationship with a wealthy Jew by the name of Boaz. Oh, how precious. They would eventually become part of the family tree of our beloved Lord. And so it was. You and I have been brought into a love relationship with the one we considered last evening was the King of the Jews. And He has redeemed us, and He has made us His own, not only for time, but for all of eternity. That morning that Ruth left the humble cottage and started out to glean, it was just an ordinary day. Little did she know how it was going to end. Ever had one of those days? Just an ordinary day. The sun rose as it always does. You didn't expect anything special to happen that day. But at its close, you could look back and say how God blessed you. Think of it. I had the joy of attending several pastors' conferences at Moody Bible Institute. At the beginning of one of the services, Dr. George Sweeting, who was then the president, was promoting a number of books in the bookstore. And he must have had a stack of hard-covered books about this high on the pulpit. The speaker of the morning was Dr. E.V. Hill. Don't know whether you've heard this man from the Watts District of California, but he is a most interesting individual, to say the least. And as he began his message talking about the goodness of God, he said, "Someday when totally unexpected, God says, 'Here, here's a blessing for you.' And He gives you that blessing." He said it again, and as he did, he picked up one of the books and he winged it out into the audience. And he went on with his message. Well, before he concluded, demonstrating the goodness of God, when we least expect it, he'd gone through that entire stack of books Dr. Sweeting had left there. What's the point, beloved? You never know what the next phone call is going to be. You never know what the next knock on the door will be, or what the next letter will bring, as God makes Himself known to us in such unique and wonderful ways. And so it was with Ruth. That day she met the kinsman who was ultimately to redeem her, who was to love her, to make her his own, and then to richly and abundantly bless with children. Beloved, God has a plan for your life and mine. And I don't believe for one single moment that He saved us and then just let us drift through our lives to the glory. But as we enjoy fellowship with Him, He blesses us again and again and again. Yes, there was a new relationship developing. Why? Because in verses 4-7, there was recognition. The elements in the story we've already considered in part. There was poverty, and there was bereavement, and there was heartache. There was separation. But there's a new element, and it's the element of love. Boaz arrives on the scene, and his character is revealed in such a loving way. I'm sure you noticed the way he spoke to his servants, didn't you? It was a precious way in verse 4. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto his reapers, 'The Lord be with you.'" Ever had a manager or a boss come to you and say, "The Lord be with you"? Likely quite the contrary. And what did they do? They answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Ever had a unionist burst into your office and say, "The Lord bless you"? Never happened in my work experience, I'll tell you that. But that was the kind of labor relations that was enjoyed in the field of Boaz. A mutual time of expressing blessing upon one another. There were possibly some 80 women who were gleaning in that field that day, we're told. And out of that 80,
The eye of Boaz landed on one. Just one. He was attracted to her. Did her Moabitish dress betray her as a Gentile? I don't know. It may have. Did the natural beauty of this rose of Moab stand out above all the others? I don't know. It may have. But it was obvious. But one thing we know, that in the sovereign plan of God, God wanted Boaz to recognize Ruth. You know what, beloved? Out of a population of more than 5 billion on the planet today, God saw you, and God saw me, and through our heavenly Boaz, the man Christ Jesus, his love was made known to us. And we enjoy that love today, having accepted the gift of everlasting love and life. And it's so personal, isn't it? Don't you love Paul's statement in Galatians 2:20? The Son of God who loved me. Think of it. He loved me and he gave himself for me. I never cease to be amazed as I read John 15, verse 9. As the Father, the Savior is speaking, as the Father hath loved me, and I can understand the Father loving the Son. But the verse doesn't end there, does it? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That blows me away. To think that the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves me as much as the Father loves him. But I got it in writing, and I believe it with all of my heart. Oh, what a relationship, what a love relationship. God, beloved, has his eye on you and wishes to bless you not only with everlasting salvation, but innumerable blessings in his will as you go through life. And enjoy it to the full. The sovereignty of God. And Ruth was in a place of blessing, as you and I are. Let us appreciate it. Blessing was near at Bethlehem, the house of bread. But there was no blessing away down in Moab. But there was in Bethlehem. Shouldn't that be a lesson to you and me? Let's stay close to him. Let's forget about Moab and be in his presence. But then there was the refreshment in verses 8 to 11. Boaz says, who is this woman? And his foreman says, why, she's Ruth. She's the young widow who came from Moab with Naomi. She asked this morning if she could glean in the field, and she's poor and she's a widow and a stranger. And so she came and I permitted her to glean. Notice what she said back in verse 2. And Ruth said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Isn't that nice? She was confident that grace would be her portion. She had no legitimate claim on the grace of Boaz, but she had confidence in the God of Israel that she would find one with grace. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was very rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Are we rich? You ought to believe we're rich, beloved. What a kinsman we have. I want you to notice the provision that was available for Ruth in verse 8. What does Boaz say, having met her? He said, go not to glean in another field. What did he want? I believe as a man, he wanted her near to him. He wanted to be able to see her. He wanted her under his protective eye. Oh, what love. Stay with him. Where you are gleaning today, don't go to another field. Stay in the place of blessing. Beloved, our God still wants us to glean in his field. Tragically, in our modern society, many a believer goes to glean in another field, be it the field of the world or whatever. But this morning, he wants you and me to stay in his field. Stay close to him. Did we spend some time gleaning with him today? Already? Will we throughout the day? I trust we will. And in the process, we will be blessed. Listen as Paul says, 2 Corinthians again, 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Stay close to our heavenly Boaz. Why? To enjoy the safety and the fellowship. Notice verse 8. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here, fast by my maidens. Stay in fellowship with them. And isn't it the truth? Many of us have proven it in a variety of ways. Brethren here who were in the military during the Second World War and conflict since, what did you long for more than anything else? It was fellowship with other believers. Stay in my field. Glean by my maidens and those who enjoy me. And as we did, we were blessed, weren't we? And so, there was provision promised by Boaz. Boaz would satisfy her thirst as the young men drew water, and she would find true satisfaction. Notice verse 9. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn under his direction. You know, I'm sure the head of beautiful Ruth was really whirling. What is God doing to her and for her? And he says, stay close to them. Enjoy the satisfying drink. You may know that you'll enjoy the protection. I've told those young men not to touch you. You're safe in my field. Not so in another's field, but you are here. And when you're thirsty and need something to satisfy, you just go to those vessels which my young men under my direction have filled, and you take whatever you want from them. Ruth was so richly blessed. The sovereignty of God, as Ruth was in a place of blessing, was so evident. Beloved, I trust we're appreciating it this morning. He will bless as we stay near to him. The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We thank God for the day that we came to drink initially and to enjoy the provision that he had made possible for us. Many times since we've gone back to enjoy a refreshing draught, of that water we first enjoyed on conversion's day. But there's protection. I've already mentioned that in verse 9. He says he's instructed the young men not to touch her. Boaz had assumed personal responsibility for her protection. Beloved, so has my beloved Lord in the glory. And not only protection through life, but right into eternity. John 10:28, he says, and I give unto them his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. These things, says John, 1 Epistle 5:13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's our God. That's the way He blesses, and He keeps, and He cares. As mentioned, as Ruth left home, her desire was to find grace in verse 2. And realizing what Boaz had done, she exclaimed in verse 10, notice it. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am but a stranger? Yes, she was nothing but a stranger. It's more than that. It means I'm an alien. I'm from a foreign country. And you have showered such grace upon me. She was richly blessed. As a former idol worshiper, I see her now as she prostrates herself before the man who will ultimately declare his love. How wonderful. How have we responded to His grace? Somebody says, well, Arnett, you know, when first I trusted Him, I really appreciated it. Oh, beloved child of God, let us not grow weary in expressing to our beloved Lord our deep appreciation for His love and His grace. We do it around the table on which the bread and the wine sits each Lord's Day morning. What a privilege. What an honor. But He wants to hear us in between those occasions. To go to Him today and through the day, on the grounds or on our knees or wherever we are, to express our love, our adoration, and our appreciation for Him. But then, notice the recompense in 12 to 17. Boaz appreciated Ruth's care and concern for her mother-in-law. Beloved, he took note of her kindness. And you know, as I've been here on the grounds, I've heard of so many beautiful incidents where one has cared for and showed love to another. And just as God in high heaven noted, the care of Ruth for her mother-in-law, so still in the closing days of this age, God notes the care that you express for that one who needs to know your love and goodness. She had come from Moab, but had put her trust in the Lord God of Israel and was now under His wings. Notice it. The Lord recompense thy work, He says to her, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. How wonderful. And so Ruth was comforted and Ruth was blessed in this relationship. Boaz invited her to eat with him and the reapers. Wasn't that precious? And as they were sitting there, the group of them enjoying the meal, you know what? Boaz was close enough to Ruth that he was able to reach for the parched corn and hand it to her. That which had just been harvested a short time ago and had been parched, it had felt the heat of the flame. And in a pan that grain had been parched and roasted and made ever so much more tasty. And that's what he handed to Ruth. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the corn of wheat that fell into the ground and died. And then He came up and He bore much fruit. Beautiful picture of Him. And that is what Boaz hands to Ruth. The parched, the precious corn. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who satisfies. And she takes her portion from the hand of the kinsman redeemer. And she was blessed by the parched corn. She enjoyed the same things that Boaz enjoyed. Beloved, that's the way it should be in your life for Christ and mine. We should be enjoying the same things He enjoys the things of God, our relationship with the Father, and so on. And so this man, the beautiful picture of Christ, great in wealth and compassion, this one who knew all about Ruth and met her need, just as our Savior knows about us and has met our need. And so he served her ever so graciously, granted her protection and prosperity. And then finally, there was rejoicing. Verses 18 to 23. With joy she returned to Bethlehem. Blessed be he, says Naomi, in whose field you've gleaned. And there was rejoicing and praise. But what joy and happiness there was when Ruth announced that the man's name in whose field she had gleaned was named Boaz. Oh, she said. Naomi responds and she says, he's a kinsman. He's near to us. And you've known his blessing. Beloved, we've known the blessing of our heavenly kinsman. He was near of kin to us. Why? How? Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so he's near of kin to us. He's one like us, but perfect and sinless in every way. Now, as our kinsman, he offers us everlasting salvation and the abundant blessing of salvation. Beloved, may you and I enjoy our relationship with our kinsman Redeemer. Become so very precious as we see the story develop and the love increase. We'll enjoy the refreshment that he provides to us, and we will be assuredly recompensed by faithfulness to God and his beloved people. Let us go on today, rejoicing. Beloved, we're in the right field. We're in the field wherein we can know the blessing of God. Let's enjoy it as we bow to pray. Eternal and Holy Father, we thank thee this morning for our heavenly kinsman, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as we go through our day, we will just enjoy to the full the presence and the nearness of the one who was found in fashion as a man and who humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Thank you, Father, this morning for all your wondrous love. In Jesus' precious name, amen.